It is time for us to hear the word of God preached unto us, so I ask that you would give your careful attention to our brother Adam Yates.
Thank you, Dwayne. Tonight, I'm going to do kind of what I've been doing on most of the Sunday evenings I've been preaching lately, that I'm going to just facilitate kind of a discussion study. So I know we got a lot of people who are at home today, and if you are live streaming and you have something that you want to add and you have my phone number, feel free to send me a text and I will try to get to it and give your comments and all that in the course of our conversation. So what I want to start by, so there's, I don't know if I heard in a class sometime or I read it somewhere, is that asking for a show of hands on something is a really bad idea because you don't typically get everybody being, not that I'm going to accuse anybody of lying, but it doesn't give good results usually. I would assume I'll probably get perfectly good results here because we're all Christians, we're all in church. So here we go. How many of us pray every day? Gary, I'm glad you finally raised your hand there. Pastor, appreciate that. All right. How many of you take time every day to meditate on the Lord? Okay, I've got a couple people, and I've got, well, we're going to talk about that tonight. So we're going to talk about that. I got a couple like this. I got Granddad holding his hand up. I see you, Granddad. I believe that. So this is what we're going to talk about. So we're going to talk tonight. I've got a handful of scriptures that's going to talk about topics or things that we are told to spend time considering or pondering or meditating on. We're going to talk about kind of what that means. My hope, if we just talk about it, is just thinking about these things. And maybe as we go scripture to scripture, you know, the last several times I've done this, I'll give a couple points to some scriptures and everybody adds in. Maybe we don't have that tonight, but maybe what we just do is we just think about some of these things. So I'll tell you where this comes from. In my, when I have downtime, when I'm outside working or taking care of my bees or whatever it is, I typically will listen to a podcast, and I have a couple of podcasts that I listen to, and most of them are kind of political, but a good portion of them will end up interviewing someone who is a Christian topics. And so on this past one I was listening to, and it was an interview with the guy who created, so I'm going to give this, I want to throw this out right now. This podcast was with a man who created an app. It's called Halo. You probably have seen it. Okay, it's a Catholic app. He is a very devout Catholic man. So as we go through and we talk about some of this, understand I'm talking, I listened to this guy, and now it was a couple hour long podcast, and I was intrigued by his story about why he created it and some of the things that he was saying, and there are some tremendous truths in there for all Christians, and of course he considers himself a Christian, although modern Christianity doesn't lump Catholics into that. But regardless of all that, and so at some point in here I may put up something from the Catholic Church. So I don't want anybody to be offended, nor am I trying to say, hey, we should do these things, but it's something I just think is that for us to think about that I found really interesting as I listened to this guy. He had a really cool story. He was kind of wandering in the world and doing his thing, and he was chasing down kind of in Silicon Valley the tech futures and all that, and realized that his life was very empty. And if I remember it right, Becca listened to it too, somehow he ended up was reading scripture or something, and a word stood out to him. And so that word was hallow, and he just started thinking about it. And it took him down this path to where he put together this this app. And it was, at first it was for him, and then it branched out. And it was to kind of direct you to spend, the user to spend some time in meditation every day. And now, of course, we think about that word meditate, and we think about someone sitting cross-legged, right? I guess you're not allowed to call it Indian style now. It's crisscross applesauce and doing that and all that. But it's not what he was talking about. And so as he went on, I was thinking about it. So he asked this question, and I would ask it now. I've asked two questions already, and I say, how many of you seek out every day some time where you can be in silence and actually get it. Yeah. Betty gets a lot. Yeah. If you live alone, probably, and all that. But I mean, for a lot of us, you know, it's by the time you hack out time from your day and all of that, you know, it comes very little. So he said, well, I want to, you know, he put together all this to do that. But anyway, I'm not trying to push his app or anything like that. But the thing he was talking about, I thought, was very interesting. And he talked about how he felt like it was very important and how his life had changed when he dedicated some time every single day to sit in silence and to meditate or to ponder on some certain things. And he had a handful of things that he's, sometimes I thought about this or that. And so I want to talk about that tonight. Because one of the things that I think about is I asked if everybody prays here, and everybody, I assume, truthfully put their hand up, and I believe everybody does pray every day. And what ends up inevitably happening is that we end up, our prayer ends up being a laying out of wants and needs, probably some, hopefully some acknowledgement of God and His goodness, and then maybe throwing out some hopes and dreams and conclusion, right? And that's, we typically do that. And so that communication with God is really kind of us just saying, hey, this is where I'm at, this is what I need. Or this is what I'm thinking, this is what I want for this person. This is, you know, it's oftentimes what it ends up being. But the concept of pondering or of meditating is thinking about a topic, a subject, a concept, a need, whatever it is, and thinking it through. And okay, how does this apply to me? Where has this worked for me? Where has it not worked? What have I seen? And spending time thinking about something. So I want to just talk about that tonight. I think it's important. And we see throughout Scripture some of these things. I want to start. And so, Zane, I want you to run the microphone tonight, please. And so I want somebody to... Or you want to use a different mic, or is this one good? Okay. We'll go to Revelation, chapter 1, Revelation 1. And I'm going to need a reader here. It'll be real easy. We're going to read like one or two verses. And we're going to read verses 9 and 10. So somebody... All right, please wait until Zane gets you with the microphone. And we're going to start here, Revelation chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 9 and 10.
I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that was called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet.
A handful of us went to a Christian concert the other day, and there was a guy who came out, and he actually read this and talked about this, and I never really thought about it. I haven't researched it. I guess I always thought, like, hey, you know, John was put into exile on the Isle of Patmos, and he just chilled there, like, in a cave or something. But the way that this scholar explained it was that it was actually a giant rock quarry, and he spent his time breaking rocks in his 80s. And I don't know, I haven't actually looked at it, but I hadn't really considered it like that. But you would imagine that if that were actually your lot and you were an old man as John was, but by the time that you finished your day, Zane, would you grab me a glass of water? You were probably pretty exhausted. I'm sure that you probably didn't eat a whole lot, and I don't know how busy it was or anything like that. So I think there's something that's interesting when he makes this next statement. He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And I know there's been sermons where that's been brought up, and I don't necessarily want to expound on that a whole lot unless somebody has some thoughts, other than that I don't believe that this concept or what John was when he says, I was in the Spirit, is something that was without some real effort, some real thought, probably some calm and silence of mind, and thinking and considering God. Perhaps it was more even than just prayer. It was It was this sitting in contemplation and considering God and His Word and all of these things. And from that time and from that effort elicits this, what we've thrown into 22 chapters, this giant revelation of all of these things. Because John took some time to sit and to contemplate and to be trying to draw his soul close to God. So I'm going to throw up here just for us to begin just some definitions. Starting with just some definitions of words that we'll talk about tonight. We always turn these off. I don't know that it makes a whole lot of difference, but it makes me feel better anyway. So I pulled first from Webster's 1828, and then I pulled some Strong's. So we look at that word meditate. It's to dwell on anything in thought, to contemplate, to study. And I don't think that word study, you know, back then it doesn't mean the same thing that we think of today. You know, you would say if you'd study something, you know, maybe you would be looking over something very intently. It's not just reading and doing that. It's really paying attention and focusing on something. Right? So there's that scripture that says in Timothy, in 1 Timothy, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Well, it doesn't mean read the scriptures necessarily, though that's part of it. It's really focusing on and paying attention to. So meditate, to turn or revolve any subject in the mind. So mull something around in your head. So the next word that we're going to look at, and that is kind of part and parcel of this word consider, and we see this in Scripture too. And Webster says that's to fix the mind on with a view to a careful examination, to think on with care, to ponder, to study, to meditate on, to think seriously, maturely, or carefully, to reflect on. And so we might think about that if we hear something like, and we'll read a Scripture here where Christ says, consider the lilies of the field, and we'll reflect upon that. Well, what about the lilies of the field, and what does that mean, and where does that go? To ponder is to weigh in the mind, to consider, to compare the circumstances of an event, the importance of the reasons for or against a decision, to view with deliberation or to examine. And then I got just a couple of quick Strong's definitions. So that first one, you look at meditate, and you're going to see this in the Old Testament, this first one, that word, meditate, we're going to read that in Psalms. It means to ponder, that is, by implication, to converse with oneself and hence aloud. So to talk to yourself about something. Probably a lot of us do a pretty good job of that now. Spend time talking to yourself. And maybe that's not such a bad thing. Maybe you're not so crazy if you're sitting and you're talking about something to yourself, because there is an aspect of verbalizing something that is important. And there's pathways in our brain that verbalizing something makes. To utter, to commune, complain, declare, to meditate, to muse, to pray, to speak, to talk with, okay? And then you find another one in this Old Testament, Strong's 1897, that word meditate, it's to murmur in pleasure or anger, by implication to ponder, to imagine, to mourn, mutter, roar, all those sorts of things. And then we see this word consider, and we see this, you see it's, I got the Greek definitions there because we see that in the New Testament. To learn thoroughly, that is, by implication, to note something carefully or to observe fully, and to behold, to consider, to perceive. So, with that in mind, and now we kind of have a little background when we talk about this, what I want to just talk about, discuss, look at some scriptures on tonight is the importance of us spending time to converse within your mind about, or to learn thoroughly, or to take note carefully of, or to dwell on something and to contemplate it and turn it around in your mind. Examination, think about it seriously, to ponder it, to weigh it, and how important it is that we in our spiritual life go beyond just reading scripture, sitting in church, hearing something, saying prayer, and spend time actually sitting and in silence, or without, you know, with making intentional effort to remove distraction, to think over something. And so we're going to look at a handful of things that scriptures tell us that we're supposed to meditate on, ponder, to consider, and all of that. And we'll just talk about it tonight. And then maybe this is something that we as a group of people can start putting to use in our life. And maybe it's hard to hack out 10 minutes every day to try to find a quiet place, but maybe we can do it every other day or once a week or something to sit and think about something and to consider. So I'll just kind of tell you how this has worked for me in my life is that, there's that scripture that talks about, it's in Alma, and it talks about when you're not praying to the Lord, that your heart's drawn out in prayer to Him all day long. And so I found myself doing that a lot of times. If I go hiking or something, of course now it's not complete silence, but a lot of times I'll sit and I'll just be thinking about something. A lot of times I'll do that when I have something on my mind, and as I'm going and I'm hiking, I'm thinking through this topic. I'm thinking through this problem I have, thinking through this need, this question in my mind, and how I try to do it, and how I found answers in this, where it's not necessarily prayer, but it is this kind of communication back and forth with God. Is as I think of, okay, what is the issue? What is the problem? What is it doing to me? What are obvious answers? What is the scriptures that I know tell me? How have I seen this at work in other people's lives? Where have those around me failed? Where have they been successful? And then if I can keep my thoughts there, I've tried to just be quiet and just think, okay, Lord, well, now it's your turn to talk to me. I've gone through and I've kind of reasoned all of these things out and thought about it. Now, what would you have me to think? And I've really found tremendous answers in my life through that particular process, where it's not a formalized prayer, but it is this meditation and this communion with God. And so I want to start, and let's go ahead and go to 2 Nephi, and let's go to the 6th chapter, and let's look at one of these first things that at least I grabbed a hold of, where I see that we're told to consider something I think is important to consider. And we will go ahead and read. I need someone to read. We'll go 79 through 85. So 2 Nephi chapter 6, 79 through 85. All right, sister friend. That's my sister's name. I call her sister friend.
Oh, then, my beloved brethren, come unto the Lord, the Holy One. Remember that His paths are righteousness. Behold, the way for man is narrow, but it lieth in a straight course before Him. And the keeper of the gate is the Holy One of Israel, and He employeth no servant there. And there is none other way, save it be by the gate, for He cannot be deceived, for the Lord God is His name. And whoso knocketh, to him will he open. And the wise and the learned, and they that are rich, which are puffed up because of their learning, and their wisdom and their riches, yea, they are they whom he despiseth. And save they shall cast these things away, and consider themselves fools before God, and come down in the depths of humility, he will not open unto them. But the things of the wise and the prudent shall be hid from them forever. Yea, that happiness which is prepared for the saints. O, my beloved brethren, remember my words. Behold, I take off my garments and I shake them before you.
So we look in this particular reading, and here Jacob is talking to his people, and he's laying this out before him, and he's saying, come unto the Lord. And now I want you to consider the fact that He has a way. It's narrow, and it belongs to Him. This is the only way. And then he makes these statements about people who are rich, or who, because they're educated, or because they think they're wise, they believe that they have answers, or they have full understanding. And it says the Lord despises those things, because he's obviously higher. And then it says in verse 84, and save they cast these things away and consider themselves fools before God and come down in the depths of humility, he will not open unto them. And so this first thing that I just want to talk about here is, how do we or what does it look like, or how has this been done? Have you done this in your life where you have considered, you have pondered maybe a decision or something that you thought that you had an answer to, but when you sat and you thought about it and thought about the ways of God and all that, you realized or you came to an understanding of a different way, a better way. I think about this in my life, that there's been plenty of times in my life that I've had some troubles, I've had difficulties, I've had uncertainties, and in my mind, I reasoned, I rationed out, I figured out an answer, a clear course, a way that I could figure this out. This is the obvious answer and how I get there. And yet, when I found myself in that time where I was waiting before the Lord and considering and quiet and meditating and thinking upon what the Lord wants me to do, I found that the solution is completely opposite to what I'd figured out in my mind. And I think that had only come because, not because I prayed a prayer saying, Lord, give me wisdom, Lord, answer this for me, but because I sat and I thought and I contemplated it. I kind of worded my question oddly, but does anybody have any thoughts on that, or some way that you've seen that in your life, or any thoughts about this? You look like you want to say something, Unc.
Yeah.
Microphone.
I mean, this is what happens to me, that in my mind I take this time, and when I'm thinking about something, I'm wrestling with it, and I'm asking the Lord, help me understand this and help me understand it well enough that I could explain it to someone else. And the older I get, the more I find that's really my quest. I can't explain it if I don't even understand it myself, even though I think I know, but then I've heard, you know, I can't explain this. How do I explain that? And I feel like it's taking this time. This is where a lot of my wrestlings are. People don't understand when I work, my mind thinks. That's what I do. And I'm usually thinking about a question, a problem, a issue. Sometimes it's me. What do I need to do differently? It's 100 things, but it's the most important part of my life of really communicating with God. And it's not me trying to tell him. It's actually trying to get an answer that I can really feel like I know that he's led me to it. And it goes beyond what I already know. It's just, you know, I've got to fight it within myself, back and forth, argue it within myself with the Lord, hearing my quest in my mind, going back and forth on these things. And I don't know how you get to anything greater, the greater truths, or even the real testimonies, if you don't take some time to do this. Just coming to church and hearing a good sermon and coming home saying, great sermon. It's just never enough. Even though it's a good step, but it's just never enough if it doesn't take you further than that.
And that process you're talking about of these answers and things that don't come without, it's not, you know, for me, it's never, I haven't had the great answers in my life in formal prayer. It's been in that pondering and thinking about and kind of considering back and forth, this meditative process of thinking of what I know of the Lord, what I know of his word, how it's, you know, going back and forth there is where I've really found those answers. And I guess what I'm hoping that we just walk away from here from is that we go beyond, is that the encouragement that we go beyond in our spiritual life than just coming and sitting and listening, going home, saying a prayer, but to actually make time to consider, to sit and to think and to mull over the Lord's word or a topic or things like that in your mind. Gordon and then Gary. Gordon first, Zane.
I'm like with Joel, I could say ditto to what he said, but there's one aspect that you brought up about, you know, when in prayer, I've had experiences where, you know, I was in a great trial and I was praying, just praying my heart out to the Lord, helping me to, you know, deal with this issue in my life, and then I felt the peace come over me, the Spirit rested upon me, and then I interpreted it as something different than what the Lord's plan was, but He gave me peace. The only time I really understood things was doing the very thing that Joel was saying, is I'm like him. I have to, I'm working, I'm thinking about things. I'm thinking about those things that, you know, because I talk with different ones and I consider what's going on in our period of time where I'm living, what's going on in other countries, and just, you know, asking the Lord, how does that relate to the scriptures and where we're at on that? And, you know, my brain's just going constantly. And I'm talking to him and he's talking to me, you know, and I don't know if people can understand that, but I have to go through that process to come to the real conclusion. That's what I'm saying. Just praying about it and I feel the presence of the Spirit, I may interpret it wrong. You got to be careful about that. He's bringing you peace. He's saying, I know you exist. I want you to continue on, basically. I'm here with you until you get the real answer, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Very good. Gary?
That's one of the things, both with Gordon and Joel, I agree with them both, and that's I'm continuously thinking throughout my day, and one of the things, part of that thinking process is that direct communication in my mind, in my heart, to the Lord. And one of the words that comes to mind when I talk about this is abiding, you know, abiding with the Lord. And I always have like a direct line of action of how to complete task and have a thought process of how to go about doing that. But really, I find it interesting how my process is completely different than the Lord's. And when you allow yourself to open up to Him as you're visiting throughout the day, asking Him questions, asking Him for help, He gently leads you down a different path that can lead to completing the same task, objective, or whatever the process is that you're working through. But there's a lot more meaning and depth to it and understanding of all the values that come with it. So I found that when I really have this relationship throughout the day, throughout my life, as I've grown and matured in the Spirit, in the gospel, that is really been significant and allowed me to better understand the Lord and to let Him better understand me is part of it too. My walls are down and it allows my heart to be led by Him at the same time.
Very good. I'm going to read real quick. I got a text that says this was a thought process that took months of contemplation and prayer. This is in how I viewed giving to the homeless or the beggar. A change from trying to determine if the gift will be used in a way that seems acceptable to me to realizing that God commanded me to give and not judge. And God has given so greatly to me and continues to, even though I most certainly don't use what He gives me in the way He would always like me to. I think that's significant because that's from Erica. Those of us who have been police officers before have a really hard time with that. We've had too many bad experiences with homeless people and all of that, so that's significant. Yeah, that's sitting and considering something and thinking it through. Let's do this. Let's jump over to Joshua in the first chapter. And let's have somebody read verse number 8 for me, please. Whoever's going to read it, put your hand up and Zane will run you a microphone. Yep, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8.
This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success.
So the Lord tells this to Joshua that he's supposed to spend time every day thinking about the law, about God's word. This is it's actually a commandment for the kings, a commandment for the leaders of Israel. And this is a huge thing. As I was looking at this and I was thinking about it, I was thinking about this particular statement here, that the expectation was to meditate or to spend time in thought, contemplation, roll something around in your mind on the Lord's commandments, on what he has written and all that. And I think about that and I think, that is way too big. It's too much. Too much. What do I do? Where do I start? Do I think about Genesis or do I think about Revelation? Do I think about pondering through Leviticus or Numbers? How many of you guys have read through that? There's a lot of fun, right? How do I do it? And, you know, as I'm thinking about it, I think, you know, this is one thing that I think is important about us coming to church, okay? Is that we believe that the Lord leads the minister in what he should speak of, and that that is with intent. We don't. There have been a handful of times in my ministry that I have not let the Lord lead me in at least a thought or something. I just thought, well, I'm just going to talk about this. And it's never gone well. I've stuttered and stammered through it and wasn't able to make sense of it in my mind, even though maybe I had notes or all that. But every one of us who's a minister here knows and can say that, you know, when we've been led to give a message, to talk about something, most often you'll hear us say that this is something that I needed to think about, and then present it. And I think one of these ways, you know, and one of the benefits of coming here to church is that we, again, we believe that the Lord leads his people and leads his ministry. So when we talk about and we think about, well, what is it that we should meditate upon in the law of the Lord? Well, this morning we were admonished to think about all the things we're thankful for. Now that's something that we could really sit and ponder. Think about all of the things we're thankful for. And could we spend 10 minutes tomorrow in silence and make within and talk within ourselves and talk to the Lord and list out all of the things we're thankful for? I wonder. Or next week, whatever the minister chooses to bring or whatever it is. You know, sometimes some of these things, you know, we say, well, read your scriptures. And we say, well, where do I do it? These scriptures are huge. But, you know, we're given these directions. Part of the reason why we come here. My hope every time I preach is that when I finish whatever the message is, that you don't walk out of here saying, like Joel said, oh, that was a great sermon, but that you go home and you think about it, and that maybe you talk about it, and that maybe you expand upon it, and that as you sit and you contemplate whatever it is, that maybe you have a greater understanding or something like that, right? And so I think this is very important. This is one of the things. I believe this is a continual commandment that we're supposed to do, is to think about and to contemplate, to meditate on the Lord's Word. That's a really big thing. So how do we break it down into usable steps, into eatable bites here? Well, we come to church for that. We continue to build upon that. So I'll give a moment if anybody has anything they want to say about that before we keep moving. Susie?
So I guess this is my version of the meditate with my hand shaking, like I'm not really sure if that's exactly what
you're the only one who did the jazz okay. Hands. So,
so because mine's not in silence, but at night, before I go to bed and before I say my prayers, I listen to whatever my nightly study is for. I'm doing the Bible in a Year on the Bible app, and I listen to that like with my eyes closed so I can try to really focus on what is said. And then I try to think about, like, why, like, of all the things going on back then, why did he include this story? What are we supposed to get from that? So I try to ponder that, I guess. And then I go into my prayers. And I feel like it does help me with my prayers, too. And it helps me kind of balance my communication with God, because then I feel like it makes me more open to listening rather than just saying all the things in my life and asking him for help with everything, like you were saying.
Very good. Anybody else? Unc?
I think that living life brings all kinds of things to ponder. I think God does that through our life. Whether it's whatever trial it is for the day, or whatever good happened today, or something that's going on in your family, or in your church, or in your country, there's, I feel like God leaves something there every single day that's worthy to be considered. And it's just part of living. Because every single facet that's in the scripture is about the life, our life. And so there's always something going on with us that can be looked at in a deeper way on any given day. And they're all important. And I think he made our lives that way, that they're, you know, life is an adventure, and there's all kinds of things to think about and consider about it if you want to see it and if you want to consider it the way God intended it to be considered. I think it's there for us. That I'm like you. If I say, what am I going to study today? Well, we have a Bible and Book of Mormon full of 100,000 different studies we could make. Where do we start? If you start that way, you're probably not going to get any studying done.
Yeah.
It's got to be something that's relevant to what's going on in our hearts and our minds, or with someone we know in our families. And I think that's where you start. And I think there's enough given to us every day to do something with that.
Anybody else? Granddad?
It's important that you pray about things.
Talk into the mic for me, Granddad.
It's important that you pray about things and ask the Lord to direct you. And if he does that, he gives you a powerful understanding. And he gives you more understanding and sometimes more scriptures that verifies what you're trying to verify and things like that. You know, and it's important because people read the scriptures and don't understand them. They read the scriptures all the time and not fully understand them. If you get into the Bible and you read it, you find out that Christ, he went down and he was baptized. When he was baptized, he formed the Church of Christ. He set 12 apostles and different ministry in that there to teach the gospel and set it in order. How many churches throughout the day are called the Church of Christ? And the scripture says that's what it was called. Scriptures tell us that that's it. He's coming back to it. And you know, they don't understand those things. They don't get into it. And you know, it's important that you don't be afraid to visit with the Lord and just ask him, is there more that I need to know about this? And if there is, let me know, because I want to teach the truth so they know the truth and so they don't have to guess on it, because the scriptures are true. And a lot of scriptures there that they go around all the time, that there's scriptures that absolutely stops them dead if they would just get into the scriptures and read them.
Very good. So I'm going to add, I've got another comment over here, Granddad. I'm going to send it over there, but I'm going to add, kind of to add to what you just said. Here in 2 Nephi in the third chapter, this kind of Psalm of Nephi, he begins it by saying, my soul delighteth in the scriptures, and my heart pondereth them, and writeth them for the learning and profit of my children. Behold, my soul delighteth in the things of the Lord, and my heart pondereth continually upon the things which I have seen and heard. Some interesting things there. We talked about this in Joshua. It says to meditate upon and think about the Word of God. And Granddad's talking about how it's important to think about it and to pray and to study and let the Lord lead you to more understanding there. And Nephi here, he says that, you know, this, what I like about this is he says he reads the Scriptures and he's pondering them. And then he writes them, considering, how does this profit the people who are around me? How do I understand this better to explain it? How do I help others to do so? And I think that's a really important aspect. That's more than just reading something. It's sitting and thinking about all of those things. You know, and I've said this a lot of times. I think this is true. When we look at the scriptures, we look at the things that Christ says you should do and the things that you shouldn't.
it's for a purpose, and I think it's important that we think those things through, that we consider, well, why is it? You know, today Dwayne talked about tithing, and you know, I think about tithing in this way of, okay, it's sacrificial on my part and all that, but Dwayne talked about this is a way to give thanks. Well, I hadn't thought about that until today. How silly, I'm almost 43 years old. I hadn't thought about that until today. That's one way that I can give thanks. We learn these things by pondering the scriptures and what all does this mean? Tithing. What all does this mean? What are all the aspects of it? And we grow in this understanding and closer to God. You know, I took that from this morning's sermon. And so I think that's something that's really important. So I've got Andrew and then Gordon.
So I think that probably for everyone, this process is a little bit different. But for me, I find myself considering, which leads me to meditate, and then after that, ponder. So for example, I'll consider about many different instances in my life that will lead me kind of to a meditative state, and that then will help me ponder in my life the situations I'm going through currently based upon the consideration, the meditation of, you know, how the Lord has blessed me in times past. I also find that the scriptures can lead into that as well. You know, there's a particular instance in my mind, a testimony actually, where I was considering going back into Lebanon. I had something really important that I needed to do there. The last time I was there, I had been detained and on the way out of country by the General Security Services, who are ran by Hezbollah. And I thought, man, I really don't want to go back into Lebanon because I could, you know, it could be something that would be a big issue. And I was reading the scriptures in the morning, and I was reading in Psalms, and it was a time where I was reading through this one psalm per day in the morning. And that psalm for that day said, I will break the cedars of Lebanon. And I felt like that was the answer to what I needed to do. And I went in country, and someone was put into that specific security service that had some tie to me in some way. It's kind of a long story, and things were all right. I was able to get in and out of the country correctly. And so these things, you know, this, in my mind, it starts with the considering of what the Lord has done for me in my life. That consideration then leads me to meditation. That leads me to ponder how that affects my daily decisions, how I can weigh that in my mind on how the many past performances the Lord has given me, the testimonies, the times where the Lord has blessed me, how that can affect my decision today.
Very good. Gordon?
When I think about what you read with Nephi and that those particular verses in the third chapter, immediately I go to when I've read about him, all the experiences that he went through to get to the Americas, leaving his home country, and all those experiences is being weighed, and now he is fulfilling something that's going to be eventful for a future. So he's taking those experiences, he's talking about them, relating them, and now I'm going to try to help you understand plainly what's in front of us, because God has given me that understanding that you're going to have my words and they're going to be used for a great work, no different than what God had used the prophets in Jerusalem when they were prophesying, saying, you don't change your ways, I'm going to destroy you, and his family were led away from there. And so he's got all that he's experienced time and time again, the different trials. And you can read that in those few verses, how he's going to approach it to tell them what's coming up in the future and being prepared for it.
Very good. So we're going to read maybe one more scripture. We'll go to the last slide. I just want to, just one of the other scriptures that I had here that I think, to me, this was something, and this is in Mosiah chapter 1. Verse 88, he says, Moreover, I would desire that you should consider on the blessed and happy state of those that keep the commandments of God, For behold, they are blessed in all things, both temporal and spiritual. And if they hold out faithful unto the end, they are received into heaven, that thereby they may dwell with God in a state of everlasting happiness. So remember that these things are true, for the Lord God hath spoken it. And so I just think of that one, and I think, you know, in my life, when I came to a place when I wanted to change my life, I spent some time thinking about the people around me who I respected, who were mature, who had lives that were put together, and they all had a commonality, and it was the gospel, and it was something that was obvious that worked in their life. And considering that, and of course I'm talking about people in this room because I was here in this local, was one of the reasons why I thought, well, you know, I've been really trying things my own way for a while. Maybe I ought to try it a different way, because I look around and I see this blessed and happy state of the people who keep the commandments of God. But I had to sit and examine. I had to sit in myself and mull over what I've been doing, the paths I've been taking, the decisions I've been making, why I was wrong, all of that. And, you know, as I say all that, I mean, again, it wasn't a formal prayer, but it was this communion with God, which is really, as I talk about this, and we talk about everybody has said it, you know, I want to just continue saying this. This is a type of prayer, a meditation of thinking of something, and it's this purposeful communication with God. And everybody who's talked thus far about these times in your life where you've had these experiences, and, you know, like Andrew and all that, we're talking about intentional things. I think this is something that's important, is that we become intentional with considering the things of God, going beyond our prayer of laying out these things before Him. Here's my list, God, and begin thinking of some things. So I want to read one more scripture here, and then we'll go through this last one. So I want to read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Now this is an interesting one. Someone read for me Hebrews 10, 24. And Jen has it. Wait for the microphone for me. Zane is going to just go as fast as possible.
And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works.
There's an interesting one. That word consider is one of those strong words from Strong's that I had up there, about thinking about and mulling over and all of that. So this thing, you know, as is being talked about here, is think about the ways that you can be an influence to others to encourage them to have more love, love for God, love for another, and to do those good things. How many of us have had experience, and so I find this at work all the time. I have people come to me and say, Adam, I'm having this struggle. What should I do? And the answer is not always as obvious as we would like it to be. Especially because a lot of the people who I work with don't believe the way that I do, if at all. So how do I give them meaningful answers? How do I encourage them in a way that's understandable to them? I'm not in the same place as them. I can talk over the top spiritually of many people and all of that. So how do I do this? And I found myself in my life, when there's been questions or things, or someone texts me and say, hey, I'd like to talk with you about something or whatever it is that, of course, I'll ask the Lord, I need you to lead me in this. And then I'll just kind of leave my prayer open and think about, okay, well, what do I know about this person? What do I know about their circumstance? What do I know about them? What kind of personality do they have? What do they value? And sit and kind of mull these things over with the Lord. Okay, how's best for me to provoke this person to love and to good works? And it's been, I think I've had decent success with that in my life. But, you know, as all of us, as parents, you know, we pray, you know, my wife and I, we pray at night before we go to bed, and we pray for our kids and for how we raise them and all that. But for me to just simply pray, you know, Lord, help me to know how to raise my children right. In Jesus' name, amen. And leave it at that without actually spending time thinking, well, what does that mean? Well, how does Zane understand things? He's different than Asher, who's different than Grace, who's different than Easton. Well, you know, I have to sit and I have to ponder it and to think about it. And, you know, the scriptures tell us to do this. So I'll leave it open. Anybody has any comments on this? Dwayne?
Just one thing on meditating. I mean, when I am preparing a scripture or a sermon, I obviously pray about it, and I ask that the Holy Spirit will guide me. But all of my thoughts and ideas come when I'm meditating on the subject. That's when the Lord, and you know, I guess the Lord speaks to all of us differently, but just things come into my mind, you know, and when I'm contemplating the subject.
Yeah. Anybody else? Susie?
When I first became a teacher, Deborah O'Hara gave me some really, really good advice. She talked about that when she was teaching and she was having a particular difficult time with a student, she could tell that the kid was having a hard time. When they would leave, she would go and sit in their seat in the classroom and pray for them and think about them and think about, she'd even look around the room and consider, what are they viewing? What's their experience in this room? And she said it would change her heart and her attitude every time, and she'd be able to come up with some way to help this person be more successful.
That's interesting. Yeah. Gordon? If you see Gary sitting in different seats here in this chapel here, you're gonna know exactly what he's doing. So yeah, that's the problem with assigned seats.
To go along with Susie is one of my prayers every time I
a little closer here. Can you hear me now?
Okay. Is that I try to, you know, I consciously ask the Lord, you know the hearts of those that I'll be speaking to, and help me to know, you know, guide and direct my thoughts to be able to present those things that the Spirit could carry to their hearts to help them in whatever it might be, because He knows the hearts of all of us. And it may be, there may be only one person in the audience that at that particular time that God will use, because that's happened to me. I, you know, a long time ago, sitting up there on that front row, way before I was a minister, just barely know what a church looks like. And there was somebody, you know, one of the ministers that said, you know, I was going to preach about something, but I've got something else. And boom, the Spirit came over me, and He was preaching to me and gave me the answer that I needed. And I remember that, and I cherish that, and I pray for that for others, because I was given a direction in my life, a major decision in my life. And God had done that for me, and that was through a sermon.
In 1 Nephi, in the third chapter, Nephi has his father has told him some of the experience he had with the rod of iron. It says that Nephi was thinking about it, and he said, well, I want to know more about this. So it says he was sitting there pondering it. And then an angel came to him and answered his question and gave it to him. And I think that's important. I think one of the things I want us to take from tonight is, I think, the importance of being intentional, focusing our time, a little bit of time, to do more than just pray and lay out a list of things, but to think over something and all the angles and how it applies and who it applies to and what you can do and what you shouldn't. And you know, it's when we're in that attitude, I think that's kind of what, at least this is my maybe very simple understanding of what it was with John. You know, it says he was in the Spirit. He was thinking about the things of the Lord. He was thinking about the things of the Lord. I think that's something that's interesting. I'm going to put it here, we're going to look at, so as I put this up here and tell you, this is a Catholic prayer, and it's something that, as I read about it, it's not something that they do in their services. This was written by a minister in the Catholic Church, because he was thinking, okay, how do I become more humble? And so he began writing down, these are the things that I think I need to think about if I want to be more humble. And so I'm not making the statement here that you should go and this should be a mantra that we do or anything like that. But there's some interesting things in here that just, you know, as I was listening to this podcast where I was thinking about all this, this guy said, you know, this is something I try to read and think about every day. He said, because I realize I need to be more humble. And he says, if you think about the things here that this minister wrote down and said, this is what I think we need to consider, be more humble. He says, it's overwhelming. So, but this is a path that if we go down and we work and spend time thinking about, okay, well, what does this mean in my life? How do I do this? So we'll just read it here real quick. Oh, wrong way. Maybe not. Maybe the Lord doesn't want us to see a Catholic prayer here. There it is. All right. Says, O Jesus, meek and humble of heart, Jesus, hear me. From the desire of being esteemed, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being loved, deliver me. From the desire of being sought, deliver me. From the desire of being honored, deliver me. From the desire of being praised, from the desire of being preferred, from the desire of being consulted, from the desire of being approved, deliver me. From the desire of being considered, oh, I think I already had that one, sorry. From fear of being humbled, deliver me. From the fear of being despised, from the fear of being rebuffed, from the fear of being calumniated, which means people speaking poorly of you. From the fear of being forgotten, from the fear of being ridiculed, from the fear of being wronged, from the fear of being suspected, deliver me. That others may be loved more than I, grant me the grace to wish this. That others might be esteemed more than I. That others may grow in the opinion of the world and I diminish. That others may be employed and I set aside. That others may be praised and I forgotten. That others may be preferred before me in everything. Jesus, grant me the grace to wish this, to wish. That others may be more holy than I, provided I'm as holy as I can be. Jesus, grant me this, the grace to wish. Just kind of some interesting thoughts in here. And again, I'm not saying that this is necessarily wholly inspired or anything, but there's some interesting thoughts in here. When it talks about being humble, I think about this and so I think, okay, everything in here, this guy, he says, you know, I sit and I think about this and I think, okay, am I doing this time? Am I wanting other people to be successful, even if it means that I'm not successful? He says, if I'm not saying yes, he says, am I really being as humble as I ought to be? And so then he considers that. You know, is it within my heart that others would be employed and I set aside? Someone else has chosen to do something and I'm overlooked. Is that within my heart that won't bother me, that's actually what I hope? Do I want somebody lifted up before me? You know, am I afraid of somebody ridiculing me or things like that? And I just wanted to end with this, and I'm not saying, again, that this is something that we should, that you need to spend time thinking about or something, you know, but maybe it is. But I just, you know, this was something that as I was listening to that podcast, this guy talked about it. He said, this is something I'm working on every day. He says, because I realize that this insufficiency in me is I'm not humble, and just praying to be more humble isn't enough. I need to think about what it means, how I get there. And he's, you know, it takes time to get yourself there and to think about it and to this meditative process, sitting and thinking about the Lord to change the way that you view things. And so I thought that was interesting. I just wanted to throw that up there. It's got a lot of things that are probably pretty hard for us to think about and pray about and actually believe within our heart in earnest. I don't want people to be successful over me most of the time unless it's my kids, right? But you know, I want to do well at work. I want to be promoted. I want, you know, these are these things there. But is that, you know, is that humble? Maybe this is one of these things I need to sit and think about some more and contemplate. Anybody have any thoughts before I draw us to a close? So again, I just want us to take, I started with that scripture in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, where it says, John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I think if he was praying, it probably would have said, or they would have translated it, that I was praying on the Lord's day, or if he was reading the scripture, whatever it was. My opinion, at least of that, is that wording of what John said was very specific, is that he was spending time in contemplation of the Lord, of the Lord's ways, whatever it was. You know, he probably had on his heart the status of the church, what was going on. I'm sure that where he was at, he heard those things. If Patmos was as that minister that we had heard, if it was this rock quarry and all that, then certain they were, you know, frequently shoving Christians there and having them work it out. So, you know, maybe John was aware of all of those things And maybe what he was contemplating is, you know, I can still write. Lord, what do you want me to write to encourage the church? And he was contemplating the status of the church or whatever it was. You know, I don't know exactly what it was, but I just something interesting to think about. So I hope that I've given you guys a couple things to meditate on, to contemplate. I want, this is something that's going to be something I'm trying to put an emphasis on, is to find time every day to where I am trying to have this communion with the Lord and thinking about something I need to understand, to grow in, a mistake I need to overcome, whatever it is, that I'm intentional with some time and going beyond kind of that praying, that listing out of things, and sitting and really spending time contemplating and meditating upon the Lord and His ways and growing closer to Him. That's where I've found the best answers in my life. That's where I've had the Lord speak to me. And so I think that's just important. That's what I want us to talk about tonight. Thank you, guys.